This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Welcome to 2021. Are you ready to generate passive income? But before we get started, hey, Happy New Year, you guys. Man, you know, it seems like it's been forever. You know, we've had some great shows that we've played. In fact, some of our best shows recently. But you know, and again, we judge that by you guys and what shows you listen to the most. You know, it's just great to be back. You know, we had a nice little break there and roughly, you know, we do this every year. We have sort of a one-month break each year from the podcast. It allows me to step back a little bit from the busy podcast schedule for a time of reflection, rest, spend more quality time with the family. It also gives us an opportunity to kind of showcase some of these popular episodes that some folks may have just missed altogether that are really great great shows. I think they're all great shows, but hey. It's also a good time for me, too, to sort of focus on my 2021 strategic action plan, which I hope all of you guys were working on as well, being implemented as we speak. This is the first year we'd ever done a sort of holiday promotion, a fundraising event, and I was just really excited to be able to do that for Child Hope International, our nonprofit organization, and it was really fun, and I think it's something I'm going to do every year. And those of you that participated, I want to just thank you so much for your contribution. It definitely was appreciated. I'm going to have some pictures of the Christmas party we had with the kids in an upcoming newsletter. And if you don't get our newsletter, well, hey, you should. You can just get that by going to the olddogsreinetwork.com website, and boom, there'll be a pop-up there that you can sign up for the newsletter. But yeah, it was really great. And we didn't quite make our goal of 2,500. I would have liked to have not only make that, but surpass it. But it was our first year. We raised 1,900. So we're a little bit shy. But I really appreciate every single cent that was contributed by those that did. Thank you really from the bottom of my heart on behalf of the great kids at Child Hope. It's also called the Lighthouse, too. That's Maison de Lumière, the House of Light, as we called it when we were over there. But Child Hope International is the nonprofit. Well, we're going to get started here. First, I am going to, you know, we talk about, you know, we have tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that are presented on our Fun Fact Friday. So I haven't done enough on terminology. So I'm going to throw in a few of these every now and then. And this is from a new book, my friend Michael Lantrip. He's been on here, attorney, accountant, investor, kind of all around. This guy knows everything, and he has got this great book called The Language of the Deal. Sounds kind of familiar, huh? Real Estate Investing, a Vocabulary of Terms, Meanings, and Explanations. So I'm going to highlight some of these. I'm trying to get him on the show here so that he can talk more about some of the top terms and so forth. But this one I am going to zero in on is as is. Okay, now I don't know if you guys have ever looked at, when you're looking at real estate, you're looking at properties, you'll occasionally run into those as-is properties. Kind of scary, usually red flag, but This is legally what that term means, okay? So it's a little bit of an explanation. I'll try to present it quickly. The term as is used by the seller of an asset to disclaim any and all warranty and representations regarding the item being sold. The buyer inspects the item, and if he buys it, he assumes all risks from that point forward. The concept usually applies to personal property, but not to real property, if the real property is vacant land. With real property, the transfer of ownership is evidenced by a written document, usually a deed, and that document is usually called a warranty deed. The warranty in the title means that the seller is warranting or guaranteeing that he owns the real property, but he is not guaranteeing that a sinkhole, for example, will not develop the next day. If there is a structure on the structure on the property can be sold as is, okay? So this is the structure, not the property, and not the land, okay? Provided the provision is stated in the written document that evidences the transaction. As is has no single universally accepted legal definition. So if you are involved in such a transaction, add more information to the document describing exactly what you mean by the term. Regarding the buying and selling of a personal residence, some states have laws that prohibit disclaiming any warranty regarding that structure. There is an implied warranty of habitability. As is not a defense against actual fraud, where the seller intentionally misleads the buyer or knows that the buyer has a misconception of significant importance and fails to correct the misinformation. So, you know, just saying as is will not protect somebody if there's a major issue, you know, of that they're hiding specifically from you. Then it goes into fraud. So that's anyway. That's the definition of as is. Thanks, Mike Landtrip, for that great explanation. And there's a whole bunch of other ones in that great book. I'll have a link to the book in the show notes. Okay, well, let's jump into our topic today. Welcome to 2021. Are you ready to generate passive income? First off, it's Happy New Year. I'm glad to be back here and to be back with all you folks. You know, every year, this is a time of reflection for me, as I kind of mentioned a little earlier, you know, personally, as well as what I'm doing in real estate. I started investing back about 2014. 6 years later, you know, I'm kind of looking back in retrospect, and you know, I start to ask questions. You know, did I reach my goals? Well, you know, for my big goal, 20x20, or 1,000x2020, I'm definitely close. Okay, we're at 924 doors, not my 1,000 that I shot for at the end of 2020. But darn close. And I'm hoping I can reach the 1,000, hopefully very soon. I would not recommend such an aggressive goal to anyone. I kind of learned a lot in this process. It is a lot of pressure, and it kind of takes you off in a lot of different directions. I think it's good to have good, you know, big goals, but I think this was a little bit too much. So, yeah, I look at other things too, like what did I do that worked? What didn't work? What can I do to, you know, that can be better in 2021? You know, and I look back from the beginning, 2014, actually it's closer to 2016 when I really decided that I'm going to do this full time and I set that goal. So I kind of really had less than 6 years, but the idea was, boom, you know, to get serious about it. And when I got serious about it, I was all in. I decided this is what I am going to be doing until I reach a goal or reach my, you know, my objectives. Well, it wasn't everything I thought. Was real estate investing all I thought? I mean, I was like a lot of you that are still trying to make this decision. You know, hear these great things about real estate. I see it being a way to, you know, literally fund my retirement, maybe create significant wealth. And you can do all of that without having a lot of experience or background or any special degrees or anything along those lines. But I think the big issue was for me, is this, you know, what I really thought it would be? And And it probably wasn't in a certain regard, because it did take a lot more of my time than I expected. And again, this show, we share the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'm being just real point blank honest with you here. I'm not one of these guys that's going to say, real estate's the answer to your life. You know, I mean, it's not. Okay. But it can be a great way to be able to generate income. I thought it would be a little more passive. Okay. Now, granted, I had a pretty big goal to shoot for. So I probably worked a little harder than most of you would have to generate the income that you'd be happy with. I also started as an out-of-state investor, which is something that is also makes it a little bit more difficult. It definitely requires more time and effort as an out-of-state investor. My first properties I purchased, I was attracted to the inexpensive properties out there. I thought, gee, you know, I could buy 10 houses, you know, for $10,000 each. I didn't buy any that low. But, you know, I was enamored sort of with these low-cost houses living in California where, houses are, you know, starter houses are $600,000, $700,000 here. So I was, you know, kind of impressed with that. And so I was buying these C-class properties in areas that I thought were pretty good, but I didn't do my due diligence like I would do it today. They were also turnkey properties. So I thought, well, I didn't have to pay any attention. I like that passive income thing. So that what made it attractive to me, you know, to be able to get those houses and not have to worry about them because I've got a property management firm. I've got tenants there. Everything's done. It's been rehabbed. I'm not going to have a lot of things breaking down. Well, you know, as reality hit me, turned out a little bit different than I had expected. I definitely, you know, had some issues with some of the things that I thought wouldn't break. Those capital expense items, I had to go through a number of property managers. I tried out Section 8, which I probably wouldn't recommend to new investors. It can be great, but it can also be really difficult. And I had trouble finding good tenants. Yeah, I think when you start to plan your year, you've really got to look at what your goals are. You know, how much time are you willing to put into your real estate investing? That's a real key thing. And I wasn't really clear on my goals, how much time that would be. I mean, I was ready to do it full time. I'm ready. I'm all in. I'm an early riser. I get things going early on. But I wasn't really sure what that was. What am I going to be doing every day? And I figured, well, I'm looking for properties. I'm buying properties. I'm renting them out and I'm buying more. And that's kind of what I thought real estate investing would be. I had the time because I was, I guess, technically, quote unquote here, retired. And I'm very goal-oriented. I've started businesses, and I knew it that what was involved in getting a new venture going. I didn't mind that, and I like working, and I also liked learning something new. That was the really exciting thing for me. Is outside of buying a home to live in, I didn't really know anything about real estate investing. So I liked learning, and I liked talking to all these experts and these people that were, you know, showing me how they did it and all this great stuff. But, then as you start to, you know, get started, and again, I had some pretty high goals. I added on, you know, a blog that I was doing so I could share with people what it was doing. And then later the podcast came in. So that kind of added even more time, a commitment for me. Even though I talked to many people and read Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Work Week, I wasn't really delegating a lot of my stuff either. And I was, if anything, I was working, a 60-hour week as opposed to a 4-hour week. So that was one thing that I definitely, learned early on that wasn't really, the best route to go. I think a lot of people think of real estate investing as passive. And well, that's partly true. I mean, the income you get from real estate investing is passive. And that income comes in each month like clockwork, whether you do anything or not. I mean, people are paying their rent, so that money is going to you. Well, yeah, you do have to do some work to make sure that that keeps coming in, and that it's but it's not like a W-2 job where you're trading time for money. Okay, if I work really, really hard, I'm going to see more results. I guess if somebody worked really hard in a W-2 job, you still have your salary. You know, maybe you can get some overtime or some other bennies or bonuses, but generally, you get paid what you're going to get paid all the time. The more work you put into real estate investing, the bigger return you'll get. If you're working smart, I wasn't really working smart in the beginning. I was working a lot, but I don't think I was utilizing my time to the best of my ability. So I started full-time investing, and I've been working full-time pretty much the whole time since I started. Now, granted, much of that time is being put into the podcast and the blog, which I love doing. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. So I'm not saying that that was a bad mistake. I'm just saying it definitely took away from the time that I had dealing with management companies, contractors, other team members, researching markets, analyzing properties, making offers, the things that real estate investors do on a regular basis. It can take a lot of time, and it also can be stress involved too. And I try to limit that amount of it because I had enough of that when I was working full time in companies or my own companies or what have you. If you haven't started yet, look at your risk tolerance. That's a key part. And that was one area I think I didn't look at properly. There are risks involved when you get started, and I'll share some of them that I encountered. And then sort of the other part of that equation, like I mentioned earlier, what kind of time can you give to your real estate business? You can just pick up a few properties and do fine. You don't need 1,000 properties. You can pick up a few properties that can give you that supplemental income that'll be fine, and you can hand them off to your kids as part of your legacy, your inheritance. And it's not going to take a lot of effort. But the fact that I was going so many different places and so many different directions at the same time, it made it a little bit more involved. One of the things I wasn't really aware of were the risks associated with Class C properties. I spent a fair amount of time on rehabs, repairs, maintenance, turnarounds, much more than I expected. I had some reserves when I went into this, but I burned through them rather quickly because I didn't anticipate some of these other areas that you see amplified in Class C as opposed to a Class B property, which is what I would recommend people buy right out of the chute as opposed to going into Class C. I paid cash for my first properties. I bought 3 properties. And because of that, I also thought, since I don't have a mortgage, there's not that much pressure. So I have a vacancy for a little while, maybe even a month, maybe a couple of months. Not a big deal. My expenses are very low. My property taxes and my insurance are very low. Maybe I have to pay an electric bill while it's being shown and that kind of stuff. But there really aren't a lot of expenses. And I kind of just let it slide a little bit too much, and I got too lax. And soon I realized I had longer vacancies, expensive turnarounds, and then I moved into the mode. Okay, I've got these great properties. They've got equity. They're a great tool to move to the next step and acquire a larger property. And so I did a cash out refi on those. Now I have mortgages to deal with. Now there is that little bit more pressure there. So you've got to be weighing these things out and looking at all the various different case scenarios. What happens if all of a sudden you have to replumb your whole property? I mean, those kinds of things can happen. And I really recommend to people that they, that whatever they have right now in reserve, you double it and you, take that part seriously because things can happen. So, all I'm doing right now basically is just sharing with you as I'm gearing up for 2021 and you're gearing up for 2021. I don't want to discourage people by any means because I really do believe in real estate investing or I wouldn't be doing this show. I wouldn't be doing what I do. So what am I going to be doing in 2021? It's a lot of things in a lot of different areas, but trying to give a quick little synopsis, and this may be some of you might be able to relate to it. I'm selling off smaller properties. They helped me get where I wanted to get, but they're a little bit more of a handful because some of these are C properties. I'm optimizing existing properties where I can and trying to make those more profitable, trying to add amenities in other areas. I'm also active in Airbnb, and I have been doing really well in that area, and I'm going to be adding more Airbnbs. I'm continuing to look for 100 plus apartment communities and partner with other syndicators. I'm also continuing to build up ground up senior living facilities around the U.S., and I'll be continuing to do that hopefully for years to come here. Do I have a new goal, since I will likely reach my 1,000 units very soon here? Am I going to go to 2,000, 5,000, 10,000? No, not this year. This year, when I'm going to try to reach the 1,000 that I set out to reach, and I'm going to focus on areas that I think need some time. And I'm also going to be looking at sort of offloading some things and delegating some things out so that I can free up a little bit more time. For the podcast, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it. I've got some great guests lined up, some great topics. We've got some guest blog writers that are contributing now to our blog. I mean, we've got some neat things happening. In addition, I'm doing something that I'm only going to mention now because I've said that this would be like a no pitch zone when you come to my podcast, but I'm going to tell you now, and I'm not going to say anything about the rest of the year, but I am taking on a few coaching clients. Some folks have talked to me, and I said, well, I'll try it out. And I tried it out, and I really love teaching and I love working with people. So I'm only going to do it on a very, very limited basis, and that's it. And I'm not going to pitch it. And don't worry, you're not going to be hearing me, trying to pitch my boot camps and workshops and all that stuff, because they ain't going to happen. So, but I am doing that on a real limited basis. Just a few folks at a time, just as time allows, as I can free up time that I'm trying to free up here. We're praying really hard, my family and I, about moving out of California. And I think I might have mentioned that before, but technically we only have one child at the house, although we have others that come and go. But he's a junior. He was really looking forward to the football season. He's a real talented running back, and he wanted to really start showcasing to college recruiters. But California didn't have a football season this year, and it was a shame. And I feel for the seniors in his school that didn't get that opportunity. So that was a real bummer, and we're deciding whether or not we're going to try to stick it out and see if it's going to get better next year. Right now he's doing some club and some other stuff, so he's still trying to do that, but it's really sad to see. He works so hard. It's just getting more and more difficult to live in this state, and for a lot of reasons. And business is not real friendly to small business, which were considered, and there are just a lot of other issues. But anyway, so we're probably going to be moving. We don't know when. It could be next year, could be the following year. Probably closer to where a lot of our properties are: Indiana, Texas, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, places like that, somewhere in there. We'd like to get some land. We thought, oh, it'd be so cool to have some acreage and a place that the grandkids will want to come and play and do fun stuff. So, if you know any good places, yeah, send us the info. And I probably regret saying that, but no, that's just kind of the plan too. Overall, I'm looking for a great 2021. I know I have mentioned in previous podcasts, watching the election, see what happens. Well, regardless of what happens politically, economically, or even real estate market wise, I'm still moving forward. And whatever happens, I'll adapt if I have to. I may have to change a business plan and my adapt and adjust as conditions dictate, but I am not sitting around just watching anymore. I'm ready to move forward. And for all of you listening, you know, old dogs and young pups alike, I'm encouraging you to keep moving forward with your plans too. We just had a great couple on, Southern California couple, who did most of their growth in their real estate portfolio during these crazy times, during the pandemic, all this. And they're, you know, they're up to like 125 units right now, young couple. Real estate's one of those things that you can just make money anytime, and it doesn't have to be ideal. You know, yeah, I mean, people that bought homes, you know, during the beginning of the Great Recession did, you know, they killed it later on. So many people that I know and I've had on the show, but you know, that doesn't always have to happen. You can even invest, you know, near the top of a market and still do well. I think if you are interested, keep listening. There's going to be some great folks on, a lot of them talking about what this economy has in store for real estate investors, opportunities, best markets, a lot of things like that. So, and of course, we'll have a lot of folks that'll tell you how they did it and share that information with you as well. So I'm planning on moving forward, and I hope you guys do too. Well, that is it for today. I know this is kind of a long one, but hey, you know, it's the beginning of a new year, okay? Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes, and I'll have some notes in there and some links that you'll be able to access at our website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for that episode on Welcome to 2021. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward. And may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.